I mean, look, until such time as women figure out how responsibility works, they should be kept away from decisions. It's really that simple. I went to get my water bottle and left my water bottle in the other room. You guys listen to the intro. I'll be back in a second.
He's not even free. He's sitting in a cage, and he's perpetuating his genes better than the girl's boyfriend and getting him to take care of them. Like, that is some epic mating strategy. And she wins, too, because she gets, you know, she wins because she gets a stable dude to take care of some, like, alpha dude's kids. Right? In that case, she wins and he wins and the guy loses. Or her boyfriend loses big time.
That's why when it comes to chicks, I just screw them and leave them. I say, get out of my bedroom, poontank, before you suck my life dry.
Trigger warning.
This is all white men have ever achieved or contributed to society or innovated or created. Everything. There.
In the full meal before, the irresponsible vagina echo chamber of single moms are wonderful. Because... what? They can do it all, but if they can do it all, why the hell are their hands in my pockets where we're giving the most resources to the people who...
Yeah, no, put your hands in my pocket, sweetheart. Put your hand on my cock. You're going to need both hands because it's so thick. It's thick. You know, the way most American women are thick. Thick around the hips. Thick above the neck. Thick.
Trigger warning.
So fucking thick. Fucking they bend light.
When a woman gives up in life, she buys...
Ah, yes. Those high-value men. Great one. Are you going to finish talking? Oh, don't worry. Don't you worry your pretty little head there, TikTok princess. We're going to get back to my high-value man. Oh, my God. I wonder if Rich Cooper has a fucking TikTok channel where he goes on there and cries about high-value men while posing with the automobiles that he rented.
...of the feminist... careers require my tax dollars to subsidize.
Everything women do requires my tax dollars to subsidize. They don't create anything. They can't even create children anymore. Fertility rates are dropping. We're talking about that in the other series that I'm working on. I got a lot of fucking balls in the air right now. Too bad I don't have my balls in your bitch's mouth. Hello. Oh, yes. Ah, that's hilarious. It doesn't matter what you think. All that matters is reality. The reality is that women are annoying.
Trigger warning.
Single moms are tough.
And ooh, and independent. No, so strong.
Not. No, they're not even.
Yes.
Lost.
It's a testament just in general to how you cannot rely on what girls say. It's
no.
Sad. It's sad. And a lot of girls are going to think this is bigoted or misogynist. No, this is what it has been. This is the empirical data. And I'm not going to disrespect myself.
It is empirical data.
Of other men.
Aaron and I compare notes on this. There's a lot of empirical data that you cannot rely on women.
Trigger warning. What? Click on the bitch.
You,
bitch. And the thing is, she likes it. The more you call her a bitch, I'll say it again. Way back in the day, I've told you guys this story. Way back in the day, this guy I was going to school with, Clint. I think that was his name, was Clint. And I remember we're standing outside in the parking lot. We're talking about something, whatever, about chicks. And I don't remember how we got there, but he said to me, great one, the harder you hit a woman, the more she'll love you. And at the time, I thought that was terrible. I'm like, how could anyone think that? You know, we gotta respect women, and women are goddesses, and now it's true. The more you treat a woman like shit, if you try to be nice to them, I got some stories. I don't want to fucking tangent. I got stories on that. If you try to fucking be nice to them, they will just fucking shit on you. I have two stories I could tell you about this right now. Actual, real, not something I read on the internet. My actual experience attempting to interact with and be nice to women and just shit right in my face. But if you treat them like garbage, they'll fucking suck your cock and swallow your cum. But Lori... who is in her early 40s, But Lori, who is in her early 40s, says maybe settling for less isn't such a bad thing. As a single mother who at age 37 decided to have a baby on her own, how did she have a baby on her own? Did she impregnate herself? See, there, she did this on her own. There was no man involved whatsoever. There's a complete lack of understanding about how biology works. She had the baby on her own. She's receiving no subsidies. She's receiving no tax breaks. She's receiving no special treatment. She's receiving no health insurance that's subsidized by people who don't have children. She's receiving no daycare that's subsidized by people who don't have children. She did this. She got pregnant. She's doing this on her own. Women do not understand supply chain. Women do not understand where things come from. I have a clip about that featuring somebody else that I'm making fun of a lot recently. His name's Rollo Tomasi. It's embarrassing for him. One of these days, I'm going to get around to playing it. Women do not understand where anything comes from. This is why they should not be allowed to make decisions, sign contracts, or own property. Because they do not, when you don't understand where things come from, you don't understand the ramification of those things. Right? When you don't understand where electricity comes from, then you fall for ideas like electric vehicles are a good idea. As a single mother who at age 37 decided to have a baby on her own, she's come to realize that perhaps she's had unrealistic expectations of what the man of her dreams should be like. I would say that is accurate. She has had, I don't know what her expectations are, but I know they're unrealistic because all women, yes, all women have unrealistic expectations. And there's two levels to the unrealistic expectations. Let's just go ahead and talk about this now. Again, let me use as my counterexample the person I am most familiar with, myself. So if I'm going to date a girl, I want to date a girl. Okay, what are my criteria for dating a girl? As I've said many times now, she has to be pretty and she has to be pleasant. Okay, what does this mean? All right, so let's do a little more detail. Here's my criteria. Here's my list. Blonde or redheaded. Thin. No tattoos. No piercings. No weird colored hair. No children. Twenty-four years old or younger. And is able to put up with me. Now, I can even give a little leeway on the tattoos, piercings, and weird colored hair, depending on the extent, okay? But that's pretty much it. Other than the part where she has to put up with me, all of those things can actually be found. Not a lot. But those things can be found. You can find blonde white girls who are thin that don't have piercings and tattoos. Now, I'm not talking about 8-year-olds, but because even then it's pretty sketchy to find an 8-year-old who's thin. You know, because their parents under, because their, excuse me, not their parents, parents, what am I talking about? That's plural. Their single mothers don't understand nutrition. All right, but I would say that's about my criteria right there. Now, we on a one level, it's unrealistic that a girl meeting that criteria would want to date me. I admittedly, that is going to be a very small number of women. I'm aware of this because I have self-awareness. Here's the thing, though. Girls who fit that description, once again, other than the being able to put up with me part, which is dubious, girls who meet that description exist. What do women want? Well, he's got to be 6'4". He's got to make at least $600,000 a year. He's got to have six-pack abs. He's got to be at least 6 months out of his last relationship and emotionally available. He has to like the same movie. And it'll go on. This will go on. I kind of should have saved this till we read more of this and I give you some more information. But my point is, if you think about the sort of men that these women are seeking, okay, so he needs to be 6'4" tall. What percentage of the population is that? And he's got to be making $600,000 a year or more. Okay, now how did that shrink it down? Oh, and he's got to be at least 6 months out of his last relationship. Because a man who is 6'4" and makes $600 million a year, he's not single. Right? So women, their expectations are for something that does not exist. Now, they have the same problem in the sense that this man they're envisioning can do better than them, and so he's not interested in her. Right? And the girl that I envision, she could do better than me. And a difference between me as a man and these girls, like Lori as a woman, she doesn't understand. She doesn't realize that the kind of man she's attracted to can do better than her. Because from her perspective, there is no better than her. Because we are men, because we are realistic, because we have self-awareness, because we understand supply chain, because we can do math, all men realize that elsewhere on the planet Earth, there's other men who are quote unquote better than us. Women have no clue that there are other women better than them. Women know that women instinctively, they see a woman who is younger and thinner than them, and the women instinctively attack, metaphorically, you know, behind their back, insulting them, snippy comments, sabotaging them. Women instinctively attack other women who are better than them, but women do not on any kind of conscious level recognize those women as their betters. That's why women don't understand where the good men are. Okay, I went and got my water bottle and I lost it. In her new book, Marry Him, The Case for Settling for Mr. Good Enough, Lori, a Los Angelino, she's a Los Angelino. One more. Oh my, hold on, stop. Let's count the red flags. Let's count the red flags for Lori's RFs. Okay. Jew, number one. Author, number two. Early 40s, number three. Single mother, number four. Had a baby on her own, number five. Describe, not that she lives in Los Angeles, she describes herself as a Los Angelino. Number six. Lori outlines her case for she and other single women to stop searching for a fictional Prince Charming and instead to look for Mr. Good Enough, who could turn out to be a great guy, even the one if given a chance. But women don't give chances. Once again, since we're doing key differences, again, between men and women. You heard me do it just earlier when I described the girl. I said, you know what? I'd even cut her some latitude on the piercings and the tattoos and the weird color hair, depending on the extent of it, right? We as men, when it comes to looking at women to date, we look for reasons to date women. You see a girl, she passes the first sniff test, right? Oh, she's kind of cute. Then we say, well, are there reasons I would want to ask her out? We look for reasons to ask women out on dates. Women look for reasons to disqualify men. Oh, he's kind of hot. Oh, but oh, look at those shoes. I could never date a man who wears those shoes. Holy fuck. Maybe he's wearing those shoes. I mean, maybe those are the shoes he wears. So there you go. I'm not going to disqualify a woman because of her shoes. A woman will do that in a heartbeat. They do it all the time. She examines the catch-22 that women face. It's a catch-22 of their own making because they do not have self-awareness. She examines the catch-22 that women face, how to reconcile the desire for a husband and family with their career and their fur babies. Now, it should say that. How to reconcile their desire for a husband and family with such a long list of must-haves that potential men who could make wonderful life partners are rejected right off the bat. Yeah. And then you're 44 years old, single mother, Jewish, and you're sitting here going, where are all the good men? The book comes 2 years, she hasn't come yet because she ain't got any good men, but the book comes 2 years after her controversial article on the same subject ran in The Atlantic. In her book, Lori interviews marital researchers, matchmakers, dating coaches, couples therapists, and clergy. So a bunch of people who don't have any fucking real world experience. Plus hundreds of single and married men and women. Recently, Lori sat down for a phone interview with Oi Chicago. That's the name of the website this comes from. It's a Jew website called Oi Chicago. This may sound anti-Semitic. I'm not making this up. Oi Chicago. Lori sat down for a phone interview with Oi Chicago about why the number 80% may be a better percentage than we thought, the difference in dating deal breakers for men versus women, and why we should give guys who do Austin Powers impersonations a second chance. See, so this Jew is making the argument that women should be willing to settle for 80% of their extensive list of things. The six-pack abs, the 6 months out of his last relationship, the $600,000 a year income minimum, and the 6 foot 4 inches tall. So she should be willing to sell for 80% of that, because of course 80% of non-existent is suddenly going to come into existence, right? Question, why did you write this book? Like a lot of women, I'm a stupid bitch. No, like a lot of women, I was wondering why I hadn't found the right guy. Once again, okay, look, anybody, almost any fucking man could have explained to the TikTok princess why she should not take this 9-to-5 job in the fucking city. Almost any man could have explained this to her. Almost any man could explain to Lori why she hasn't found the right guy. Almost any man could explain this to her. But we can't tell them this because it's mansplaining, it's sexist, it's insensitive. And they keep digging the holes. And they jump down in the fucking hole, and then we're supposed to come along and feel sorry for them, right? We're supposed to man up. The Datanomics book review that I did. Go back, look that up. Datanomics. More men need to go to college so they'll be worthy of marrying these educated women. You are out of your fucking mind. That was his conclusion in the book. For those of you who missed that series, I really do recommend going back and listening to it. The book, again, is called Datanomics, as in economics, Datanomics. I think the author's name is John Berenger or something close to that. That was his conclusion. We need more men to go to college so they can be educated enough and wealthy enough to marry all these women who can't find good men. By good men, of course, we mean men who make more money than her, because women only date up. Men are sexist because we want to date younger girls who are physically attractive. Women, however, are not sexist because they only want to date men who are taller than them and make more money. And this is why the idea in our society that men and women are legal, equal in any sense whatsoever is complete fucking nonsense. We live in a matriarchy, and all the disaster you see around you is a direct, or in some cases, at the most, two steps removed result of women having political and economic power. All right, anyhow, let's get back to Lori. Boy, we are never going to make it through this. I'm on page 8 of 21. Like a lot of women, I was wondering why I hadn't found the right guy. Any of my male friends could have explained this to me, but I'm too much of a stupid cunt to listen to anything a man says because, well, I'm a Jew, and I'm an author, and I have a career, and I'm a single mom, and I know everything. I can do everything. I am everything. I'm perfect. And I don't understand why men aren't knocking themselves down to get to my doorstep to marry me. I'm baffled by this phenomenon. As I got older, which I do every day, I just don't realize it because I'm not very smart, when I would listen to my married friends talk about what they really love about their husbands and what was making them happy in their marriages, it had nothing to do with the things that my friends and I, who were single and in the dating world, still would talk about when we were talking about the guys we were dating. Imagine that. So the women she knows who are married and happy have a completely different focus and set of expectations for men than do her and her friends who are single and can't find no man. Imagine that. Women who are not obnoxious cunts have husbands. Women who are obnoxious cunts don't have husbands. Who could have seen this coming? My married friends would say things like, quote, "Oh, he made me tea, and he programmed the TiVo," unquote. And we single women would be like, "Oh my God, did you see the way he buttered his bread on that date?" Again, see, the married women, like, "He made me some tea and brought it to me," and they appreciate that. The single mother wall hitters, "Did you see the way he buttered his bread?" The way he's buttering his bread. I don't think this is a metaphorical use of buttering the bread. The methodology that this man utilized to put butter on his bread was not acceptable to her. These women don't know why they're single. Like, okay, if I was out with a girl and she buttered her bread by getting up from the dinner table and going outside and grabbing a cat and swinging the cat around by its hind legs and then bashing its head into a wall and then pulling out a knife and like tearing into the body and pulling out one of its femurs, and then came back up and used the femur to scoop some butter and put it on her bread. Okay, like that would be a deal breaker. But I'm going to take a wild guess that none of these men who are rejected as potential husband material by these 40-year-old women who are desperate to get married did anything quite that extreme as his bread buttering methodology. It was like these completely unrelated worlds, and yet the whole point for us, because we happen to want to be married, no, you don't. That's the thing. You don't want to be married. You think you want to be married. You claim you want to be married. You want a wedding because that's your day. If you've made it to fucking 44 years old and you haven't gotten married yet and you do not want to be married. The lack of self-awareness here is staggering. Because we happen to want to be married. Of dating is like a completely unrelated worlds, and yet the whole point for us, because we happen to want to be married, of dating was to find the person that we wanted to spend our lives with. And again, this person you find that you want to spend your life with, you completely forget about the fact that he has to also want to spend his life with you. See, women just conveniently neglect all of this. That's why I said, like in my criteria, right? Think back 20 minutes. I saw about the girl I want to find. What was the last thing I said? She's got to be able to put up with me. See, women have no clue about that part. Well, I'm trying to find the man I want to spend my life with. Okay. So you realize that among your requirements is that this man has to want to spend his life with you. You reject men for the way in which they put butter on their bread. You're looking for a man who's willing to put up with that level of judgmentalism. Any man who is going to put up with that level of judgmentalism is not going to be a high-value alpha man enough to be making the $600,000 a year or more that you are going to require to keep you and your child that you had by yourself at the comfort level that you're seeking. Yet we were looking for things that had nothing to do with whether we were going to be happy in marriage with these people. Question, what are the important commonalities to look for when dating? You're asking a woman who has been a complete failure at dating, what are important things when it comes to dating? This is fucking hilarious. Answer, one question I always asked married women. Hold on. I'm choking to death. One question I always asked married women was, is your spouse like the person you thought you were going to marry? And so many times they'd say, quote, no, not at all. I thought I was going to marry someone who is this and this and like this, but in the core of things that I wanted, yes, unquote. It wasn't like they had the same taste in music necessarily, or they both loved hiking and sushi or whatever. If they do, great. But it was more that they were similar in the way they viewed the world. That they had similar values. They liked and disliked the same people. They wanted the same things in life. They had similar ideas about what would make them happy in life. They were both flexible and able to compromise and shared basic things like kindness and humor. Let's review this. Okay, women do not have kindness. Women are filled with hatred. Women do not have a sense of humor. Women are not able to compromise, especially if you're 44 years old and you're a single mother with a kid you had by yourself, okay? You do not understand kindness. You don't have a sense of humor. You're certainly not going to be capable of compromising. Similar in the way they viewed the world. I mean, there's not a man alive who views the world the same way a 44-year-old single mother who had a child by herself views the world. Women view the world, especially 44-year-old single mothers who have children all by themselves, they view the world in a way that I'm not even sure I could describe. But I can tell you this, despite my inability to describe what her worldview must be like, I can tell you that the number of men who share that worldview is insignificantly small. Once again, when I say men, understand every time I say the word man, I'm not talking about someone with a penis. I'm talking about 6'4", because these are her requirements that aren't going to change. I don't give a fuck what she wrote in this book. I guarantee you, she's still not dating someone who isn't 6'4". She's still not dating someone who doesn't make $600,000. Okay? When I talk about myself and I say girl, I'm talking about blonde or redheaded and thin. Those aren't going to change. When I say man in relation to her, there's this baseline criteria that aren't going away. Question, in the book, this isn't really a question. Fucking women cannot write. I don't know if the person who wrote this interview was a woman or not. It says, in the book, comma, describe the difference in deal breakers between men and women in dating. That's a very poorly formed sentence. Well, maybe this is written in Jewish. Answer, there is a survey where men and women were asked what would be a deal breaker for going on a second date. Nothing I'm about to read to you is going to be a surprise to you. Nothing. Men named three things. Now, here we go. I'm putting this down as a red flag. Here we go. Men named three things that I thought were very legitimate. So you see, there's a survey, and some people asked a bunch of men and women, but men, what would be deal breakers for you when it comes to taking a girl on a second date? And they gave some answers, and Lori thinks that their answers are very legitimate. See, the implication here is that their answers might not have been legitimate. But see, their answers are okay. Their answers are legitimate because a woman decided they are. Do you see the filter that's good? This is her worldview. Like sweet cheeks. The answers these men gave do not rely upon your external approval for legitimacy. If Lori was here right now and I said, Lori, I'm only going to date blonde or redheaded girls who are white and thin and under the age of 25, I don't need her to tell me, well, that's very legitimate in order to validate that. Once again, see, the woman worldview is that everything must be externally validated because women require external validation every fucking moment of their lives. And part of external validation is, of course, that no one must ever disagree with them or correct them. This is, of course, as we know, mansplaining. The sheer fucking arrogance of this 44-year-old wall-hitting single mother. And she has no idea why she can't find a husband. Men named three things that I thought were very legitimate. She has to be cute enough. She has to be warm and kind. and she has to be interesting to talk to. There you go. For the 50% of my audience who's been, oh my God, hold on. I got a tangent for a minute. I can't even believe I've made it this long without talking about this. Okay. So among the many things I have wanted in my life, my so-called life, right up there with dating the CSU women's volleyball team, is I have wanted a remote control dump truck. Well, I bought a remote control dump truck. It's like $25. Now, I don't know how many of you out there have ever had a remote control dump truck. And I don't know how many of you out there, although I can theorize, have ever had a girlfriend. And I don't know how many of you have had a remote control dump truck and a girlfriend, whether at the same time or at different times, and thus can compare the two. But I'm going to tell you this. This remote-controlled dump truck is more fun than half of the girlfriends I've ever had. Holy shit. This thing is the most fucking fun. Take it out. I get my little cigar. I'm walking around on the sidewalk. I'm driving my little dump truck. I'm smoking my cigar. I went to the store, I bought another remote control dump truck. You know why? Because I want one for outside where it's driving around like in, you know, on the sidewalk where it's nasty and people spitting all their stuff. And I got another dump truck that's only for in the house because I'm fucking fanatical about my floors. Nobody comes in this house with shoes on. I will beat the shit out of you. I'm fanatical about my floors being clean. And drive my little dump truck around the room, you know, and the little bed gun to dump stuff out. Oh my God, I'm so fucking happy. This little dump truck makes me happier than half the girls I've dated. And the other half is questionable. All we're asking, girls, all we ask, because see, we are men. We are not that complex. Despite what you may think, we're really not that difficult to satisfy. She has to be cute enough. She has to be warm and kind. She has to be interesting to talk to. I can vouch for all of those. And if she owns her own remote control dump truck and we can go drive remote control dump trucks together while walking down the fucking path, holy shit, I'll marry her right now. But here you go, guys. Women, to get back to the answer here, women, you know, women, the things that don't have testosterone, women named 300 things that would rule out a guy for a second date. 300. Men have 3, women have 300. Now, I'm attempting to find, I may have to get this book from the library because I would like to find this list of 300 things if it actually exists. Because there's a lot of assumptions. Assumption number one is that these aren't lies. Okay, I would like to find this list of 300 things. But let's just slow down for 1 second and make sure. I'm assuming that this doesn't mean each woman had 300 things on her list. Again, like say there's 100 men, each of the 100 men said some variation of the same 3 things. Cute enough, warm and kind, interesting to talk to. Amongst all the women, you know, each woman may have only had 3 or 4 things on her list, but when you tally them all up together, it's 300 different things amongst the women who were surveyed. Which is very different from each woman having a list 300 things long. That does not negate that women collectively have 300 things that will disqualify you from a second date. And keep in mind, we're not talking about disqualifying you from the first date. We're talking about disqualifying you from the second date. Because my list of things that disqualify a woman from the first date is huge. But if I get to first date and first date ends, the list of things that will disqualify her after that is pretty fucking small. So we're not talking about the women's first date list. We're talking about their second date. 300 things. They were things that, again, had nothing to do with whether you're going to be happy in a marriage with that person. Yes, because women don't make their choices based on, will I be happy in a marriage with this person? Women make their choices based on their emotions in the moment. Women make their choices based on, what will my friends think? Women make their choices based on, what was the response on Instagram when I posted the picture with him? Women make their choices based on, it's my day. I want to get married. I want to have a wedding, but I don't want to be married. So why not go on a second date? This is a given that you were attracted to the guy. They thought he was cute, that they thought he was smart, that they thought he was reasonable, and that they had a decent time. Some of the deal breakers were, quote, "Oh, he did that Austin Powers impersonation. Forget it." Unquote. Or, quote, "He's not stylish. No thanks." Unquote. Sweetheart, if your man isn't stylish and doesn't know how to dress himself, that's part of your responsibility as the woman to fix that. This is not a joke. I'm not saying you like burn his, but you're going to say, hey, you know, that color really doesn't look good on you. You know, that style of clothing just doesn't work for you. You should try something else. Great one. You changed the way, did I change the way I dressed for my women, the girls I dated? No, not everything, but here's the thing. Once I knew what they liked to see me in, when I went on a date or went out to dinner or whatever with a girl, I would wear something I knew she was going to like. I mean, the Jewish vet student bought me a couple of different shirts and stuff like that. We'd go out, I'd wear what she had bought for me. She bought it for me because she liked the way it looked on me. I wore that for her because I'm not a woman. I am not selfish. I am willing to do things like wear specific clothing in order to make myself more attractive to the woman I'm with because I care about her. See, to women, everything I'm saying right now, they have no fucking point of do something for a man. I'm not going to do anything for a man. Men need to accept me just the way I am. And then I'm 44 years old and I'm a single mother. I can't figure out where the good men are. And likewise, she had this one thing she wore one time. She came over, she's wearing this thing, and holy fuck, I practically ripped her goddamn clothes off. After that, she wore that thing a lot more. Okay, because she wasn't a complete selfish, she was Jewish, but she wasn't a complete total fucking cunt. So yeah, if he's not stylish, sweetheart, that's for you to do something about. Because let's not pretend that you women don't like changing men. Your whole fucking fantasy about marrying a man is to change him. Well, now I married the great one, that Supergirl collection of his, that's going in the trash. Well, you know, now that I married this man, he's not going to be hanging out with his friends drinking beer anymore. Once again, women can't even do their basic response. Women can't even have children anymore. Women can't raise children anymore. Women can't tell a man that, you know, the color blue doesn't look that good on him. Oh, he's wearing a bow tie. Bow ties are fucking gay. Tell him. You know, that bow tie looks really stupid. Here, I want to buy you a couple of really nice ties. Okay, girls, where's that fucking list? Girls, if you are cute enough, and if you're warm and kind, and you're interesting to talk to, and you come to me and say, you know, your ties look stupid, I'd like to buy you 3 different ties for you to wear when we go out together, I will let you buy me 3 ties, and I will wear them for you, and I will appreciate you for doing this. Because this tells me you care. It tells me you're not a fucking 44-year-old wall-hitting fucking Jewish cunt who has a fucking kid. And remember, women are the ones in our society who are they're compassionate and caring, altruistic. They have great communication skills. This is not a joke. Anytime any girl I've dated has ever bought an article of clothing from me, I have worn it for her. I'm beating on a dead horse, but you women are fucking pathetic. This is my point. I can't figure out why I'm single. I'm not going to date him. I'm not going on a second date with him. He's not stylish. Like, this is why you're single. Because you don't even understand the most basic dynamics of being in a relationship, which you women can't shut the fuck up about relationships. And men are afraid of commitment. All this horse shit that you fucking whore spew. You're so fucking clueless. This is a book that no one needed to write because every man instinctively understands. Once again, this stupid bitch, instead of writing this book and interviewing, she could have talked to almost any actual man and he could have explained all of this to her. How come I'm 44 and still single? Because your expectations are completely unrealistic and you want to get married, but you've got all these standards for men that no man can possibly ever attain. And more importantly, don't have anything to do with actually being married to somebody because you don't seem to understand what being married actually entails. There you go. You know, guys don't have to find this book and read it because I've just explained it to you. Not that I would encourage you to find this book and read it. Although, like I said, I want to find this list of 300 things. If any of you out there have the ability, you know, can find this list of 300 things, send me the fucking link. All right. Here we go. Next question. You say women are storytellers. Can you explain what that means? I can explain what this means. Women are liars. They call it storytellers because that sounds better than saying we are liars. Answer. Women tend to make these judgments so quickly about a guy because here we go. Women make snap judgments about men based on little to no information. Okay, that's the translation of this sentence from girl speak into man speak, right? The sentence starts this. Women tend to make these judgments, the 300 things, right, that disqualify a man from a second date. Women tend to make these judgments so quickly. So we make snap decisions based on little to no information about a man because here's her rationalization for, let's be clear, not women, let's be clear, for single mothers who are 44 years old make these judgments quickly about men because, you might want to be sitting down, guys, women are more natural. They're so delusional. They're not just more, they're more natural. You see what we're doing here? See, men are fake. Women are natural. I'm putting this down as another red flag. Do you see why these women are single? Of course you do. I'm fucking preaching to the choir. We're not finished with the sentence yet. This is not even all of it. Just, oh my God. Because women are more natural storytellers. Storytellers. She's making snap judgments about you based on how you butter your bread because she is a more natural storyteller. And you're saying, great one, those two things have nothing to do with each other. Yes, you can figure that out because you're not fucking retarded. She can't. Women tend to make these snap judgments so quickly about a guy because women are more natural storytellers and we do want to know how the story will end or at least progress. That sentence is so filled with bullshit that I could do an entire episode on that sentence alone. We're sitting across from someone on a first date and we're thinking, is this somebody I can imagine myself in a relationship with, as opposed to, is this someone I can imagine myself having another 2-hour dinner with? And there's a big difference. Yes, because you're instantly going to, is this guy going to marry me and then let me divorce rape him? You have no idea of doing things incrementally. You have no idea of, hey, let's get past the first hurdle and see what happens. You want to go straight to your day. You want to go straight to the wedding when everybody is giving you attention and you're getting presents. And then you just want to jump straight to the divorce settlement where you're getting 50% of everything he owns in alimony for the rest of your life. Right? For women, it's the destination. It's not the journey. This is why women are always saying, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. Because women always project and women always lie. No, for men, it is a journey. For women, it's purely the destination. The destination is where you find yourself. The journey is where men build themselves. Okay? For women, it's all about the destination. It's all about to you getting to the wedding so you can have your day. And then you have your day. And it's wonderful, and all your friends are, and by friends, I mean the women you insult behind their backs, they're all there, and your children you had by yourself are there, and the man might show up or might not, and you have your day, and all the attention's on you, and you open your presents and your gift cards, and you go to Starbucks, and you get your sugar-filled latte for $7, and then now you're ready to go straight to the divorce rape. Gimme 50%, everything you've got. I'm strong and independent. Don't need no man. I need alimony every month to take care of these children that I had by myself. They're not even yours. And what are you talking about the wall? There's no such thing.
What is beautiful in a woman?
Yeah.
What is attractive in a woman?
Right.
Is defined by men.
Right, and men define that as being cute enough, being warm and kind, and being interesting to talk to. It's amazing how many of you women can't achieve those three things.
They should be able to dance on the water.
Number 14. They think that having a good job means that they are.
How do I work for a non-profit with retarded people? Oh my God, red flags everywhere. I see nothing but red.
More goal-oriented. Women are all about protecting their feelings.
Oh, my feels. They're all about getting to their wedding day. It's her day.
They're not about progress.
Oh, it's her day.
They're all about lying and then gaining on that lie for political advantage.
I can't figure out why these girl bosses are single.
The Rock says you should know your role and shut your mouth.
every woman who gets pregnant out of wedlock or without a committed man says, I was on 19 different kinds of birth control. I must have been taken up by space aliens and impregnated through my nose with a squid tentacle.